My name is George. I am a teacher as well as an accountant. And I also serve here in this church as a deacon, seconded to the children's ministry together with Deacon Joash and Deacon Edwin. So today's lesson is titled Uncommon Increase, Expanding Beyond Limits Through God's Power. Uncommon Increase, Expanding Beyond Limits Through God's Power. And this is a lesson that we've been doing from Monday until this Friday during VBS. So I'm just giving you kind of a summary of what we are teaching our children. And I'll try to summarize it so that we have all the main points and the truth and what God wants us to have today. So I'll break it down in four parts. And these are titled The Key or The Keys to Experiencing Uncommon Increase. The Keys to Experiencing Uncommon Increase. So I'll try to do it like we do it in Sunday school. I know here we do it in points form, like the way I have given over there. Bwana asifiwe. So I'll try to, actually what we do in Sunday school, we have the main truth. You know, the main truth that is what you want the children to go home with. And then we have a memory verse. After the memory verse, we'll have a Bible reading. After the Bible reading, we will have an expose of the lesson, and then we'll have application. So I'll try to combine the two ways so that I don't leave anyone behind. So the main truth for this lesson is titled, God Desires to Give His Children Uncommon Increase. God desires to give His children uncommon increase. Spiritual growth, influence, provision, and protection when we live in prayer, obedience, faithfulness, and gratitude. So that's the main truth for this lesson. So this is what you need to remember from now until the end of this teaching. And the memory verse is from the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, that says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." So remember, this is what you call the prayer of Jabez. So I'll be explaining further as we proceed. So imagine a farmer and a seed. A farmer having a seed, and it remains a seed in his hands, small, limited, powerless. But if he surrenders this seed to the soil and puts water into it and waits, that seed multiplies into a harvest far beyond its original size. Remember, Jesus was teaching about mustard seed. It's the smallest of seeds, but if you put it on the soil, you will get a harvest that you can't even imagine. So that's what uncommon increase looks like in God's kingdom. God takes what you surrender and multiplies it beyond what you could do by yourself. And this is what we have come here today. We have many prayer items today. We are praying for provision. We are praying for influence. We are praying for opportunities. We are praying for breakthroughs. But the real question is, are we positioned for the uncommon increase that comes only from God? Are we positioned to receive this uncommon increase that you're talking about? And the Bible is full of people who experience God-sized growth. One of them is Jabez. One of them is Jabez. The other one I'll be talking about is a young boy who surrendered his lunch to Jesus. I'll also talk about Peter, who obeyed even when it didn't make sense. Peter obeyed Jesus even when it didn't make sense. Then there were servants who were given talents, and some of them invested their talents. Then lastly, we'll have one leper who returned to give Jesus thanks. So they didn't just see ordinary results. They saw uncommon increase because they trusted, obeyed, and depended on God. So what did they do? They trusted, they obeyed, and they depended on God. So let's go to my first point, the four keys of to experience uncommon increase. The first one is prayer. So pray for God's blessings and guidance. Pray for God's blessings and guidance. So this is Jabez's prayer. We can read that together. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. The prayer of Jabez. From the book of 1 Chronicles 4, 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I give birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the Lord, to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain." And God granted his request. God granted his request. So Jabez was born in pain. Remember, that's what the name means. His name means. But he didn't let his past define his future. He didn't let what his mother named him define his future. And most of the time, we tend to, you know, remember where we've come from and put that as a hindrance to where we expect to be. So then, what we need to do is to ask for an opening through prayer, to be increased through prayer, like Jabez did. He prayed for favor. He said, "Bless me. God, bless me." He prayed for enlargement of his territory, and that's influence. He also prayed, "Let your hand be with me." That's presence. He also prayed, "Keep me from harm." That's protection. And what are you told at the end of that? God granted his request. So when you're praying, remember that God answers sincere, faith-filled prayers that align with his purpose. So when you're praying, are you praying in line with God's purpose for you? Is what you're praying for yourself? Are you very selfish on your praying, or are you praying so that you can be a blessing to others? So where are you? Are you praying so that you can be a blessing to others? Just like he said, he prayed for favor. Ask God to favor you. Ask God to give you, you know, your heart's desire. Ask God to enlarge your territory, to give you influence, so that as you're being blessed, the blessings you're receiving is not for yourself alone. The blessings you're receiving is to be the light and the salt so that others can also get your blessing. And then he prayed for presence. You know, in this world, you cannot do anything without God's presence. So he says, "Let your hand be with me. Let your hand be with me." And lastly, he said, "God, keep me from harm. Protect me. Even as I am living on this world, there are dangers around me. God, please protect me." And I think this is something that you can also agree together, that we need to have this kind of prayer, to pray this kind of prayer like Jabez prayed. So then start each day asking God for more, not just for yourself, but to bless others through you. Are we together? So when you receive, you're not receiving for yourself. You're receiving for yourself first, but also for others. May the blessings that you're asking God to give you be for others as well. Let me go to the second point. So trust God's power to multiply the little you have. Trust God's power to multiply the little you have. So this is a story found in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. It's talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. So media, you can give me the scripture. So sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" So Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. So Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." That's the word of God. So the disciples saw luck. We've seen Philip and Andrew, you know. They don't believe that all these people can be fed. But what was Jesus seeing when he saw all these people? He saw an opportunity for God to act, you know, for God's mightiness to be seen. So the boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish became a feast for thousands. And then there was leftovers. So the Bible says 5,000 people, if you do some math, we would say about 20,000 people were fed. So God can turn your little, whatever little you are offering to him, your time, your resources, your skills, into abundance when surrendered to him. So that little thing that you have, your time, your resources, your skills, give it to God. And he'll multiply it. So you need to surrender whatever little you have so that God can multiply. Most of the time we say, what I have cannot be sufficient. What I have cannot be used. Or you just say, other people are doing it. You know, mine is not needed. Some of us are just sit at the back. We don't want to offer ourselves, you know, in service to this church or to where you are. You say, I don't have time to do this. Yet you know God has given us 24 hours in a day. Sometimes when you're talking to kids, we tell them we have 24 hours. If you divide it into 3, you have 8 hours. You have 8 hours to sleep, 8 hours to be in school. What do you do with the other 8 hours? Can you account for the other 8 hours? Most of us cannot be able to do that. Your resources, you know, maybe I don't have a job. I don't have work. So when I'm being asked to give, what am I giving yet I don't have? But there's something little that you have. So that little that you have is the one that you're supposed to surrender it to God. So God is telling us, give. Give to me. The disciples saw lack, but Jesus saw an opportunity for God to be glorified. So don't hold back your loaves and the fish. Don't hold back. Give them to Jesus. Give them to Jesus and watch him multiply. Right? Give them to Jesus and watch him multiply. There's a verse I love from the book of Philippians 4:19 that says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God will supply all your needs according to his riches. He understands your needs more than you even understand them, or more than your neighbor understands them. So give him that little thing that you have, and he'll multiply it, just like he multiplied the fish and the loaves. Are we together this far? Good. So let's go to the third one, that which is the key to experiencing uncommon increase. It's about obeying God. Obey God. So obey God even when it defies logic. Obey God even when it defies logic. So this is a miraculous catch, and it's found in the book of Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. Let's read that. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen. Amen. So Peter, an experienced fisherman, had caught nothing all night. He had caught nothing all night. And here Jesus is telling him, you know, lower your net. Lower your net. Remember, Jesus has just talked to people, and he has gotten into the boat of a boat belonging to Peter. And then he tells Peter, "Let's get deeper into the water." So Jesus' word, he cast the net again and caught so many fish that the net began to break. See God. So what is it that you're required to do based on this? We are to obey God even when it defies logic. Sometimes people have said, "You can't make it." People have told you, "You don't deserve it." People have told you, "You can't be this. You can't be this position." People have said things about you, and you tend to believe them. You know, you've believed what they're saying about you. You've limited yourself based on what people are saying. But our key today is that our key to experiencing uncommon increase is that we need to obey God. Obey God even when it doesn't make sense. Right? Are you together? At Jesus' feet, Jesus' word, he cast the nets again and caught so many fish that the net began to break. Uncommon increase comes when we trust God's word over our experiences or reasoning. Are we together? So maybe you're, like, for example, I'm a teacher, and I trust that this is how this mathematics is supposed to be done. This is how this problem is to be solved. But then another teacher tells me there's another way to do it. Another way I've never heard about. So this is what you're being asked today, that even beyond our experiences, our skills, our imagination, it can still happen. Are we together? So sometimes you need your next breakthrough is on the other side of an instruction that doesn't make sense to you. Your next breakthrough is on the other side of an instruction that doesn't make sense to you. Has your boss told you to do something and you feel, what is this person telling me to do? Maybe that's where your breakthrough is coming from. Remember, these people were turned from fishermen to fishers of men just because they obeyed. Are you obeying what God is asking you to do? We must invite Jesus into our lives. We must invite Jesus into our lives. He understands us. He understands our needs. He knows what is better for us. So when he's telling us to do this, do it. If he's telling you to walk this path, walk in it. If he tells you this is wrong, don't do it. Believe him. God's plan for us is more than we can imagine. His plans for us are more than we can imagine. But remember, following Jesus comes at a cost. Following Jesus comes at a cost. It's not easy. We need to leave a few things behind, right? We need to leave a few things behind so that we can be able to obey Jesus the way he wants us to obey him. So we should trust and obey Jesus even when we think we know better. Remember the story of Peter? Peter is a fisherman. He understands everything that is to be understood about fishing. He's been a fisherman all his life. So he knows when is the best time to get fish. But then another person comes, let's say a carpenter, and he tells him, Peter, let's get into the sea, we'll get something. So if I think if it were me, and someone is telling me, someone who is not in my profession, and they're telling me to do something, I would maybe have doubts. This is not possible. You know, this is not how we do things. I don't know whether that's how you say. When Jesus tells you to do something, you say, this is, it can't be possible. It's impossible. But God is telling us, follow me. Follow my direction, because I know, I understand. So following Jesus, like you said, means leaving some things behind. It's impossible to do this life without Jesus. So we need to leave some things behind. We need to leave sin, the life of sin behind. We need to leave our skills, our experiences behind, and follow what God says. Trust and obey. So Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. So Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, think, or imagine. He's able to do it for us. We only need to surrender and obey. Okay, let's go to the fourth one. So the fourth one is be faithful and thankful. Be faithful and thankful. So this is the parable of the talent. So the key to experiencing uncommon increase is to be faithful and to be thankful. Let's look at the first one, being faithful, the parable of the talents. So the parable of the talents is found in the book of Matthew 25, verse 14 to above verse 30. So increase through faithfulness. So this is increase through faithfulness. So again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one who had 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5, and he said, "Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So the man with the 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. So, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And through, yes, thank you so much. Bonasifiwe. Faithfulness. So God entrusts gifts according to our ability and expects us to use them. So God gives us gifts according to our ability and expects us to use them. God gives us everything that we need. He gives us everything that we need. And we must put those gifts that He's given unto us into action. And we should not waste the opportunity God has given you. So if you waste that opportunity God has given you, He's going to take it away from you. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Colossians 3:23. So whatever you do, do it as you're doing it to God. Don't do it as you're doing it to man. So remember, like we've seen in this story, there's these three servants who came to their master. The master called them to where he was and he said to them, "I'm going and I'm going to give you these talents. Do what you want to do with them." So he gives each according to their ability. So maybe your ability is 5. Your ability is 2. Your ability is 1. How are you using what God has given you? Are you using it to your ability, to the best of your ability? So faithful servants are given more. The fearful servant lost even what he had. So even what God has given you, He's going to take it away from you if you don't use it. So the master in this story is God. So God has entrusted us with talents. He has entrusted us with talents. And we must put our talents into action. So for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So those gifts that we've been given are not in vain. They are to be put into use. What is it that God has given you and you're not using it? Okay, some of us say we don't know our giftings. We don't know whether we are gifted even. But God has given each and every one of us a gift. We each has a gift and we need to put it into practice. It's a job to be faithful in what God has given us. Because at the end, God will ask us, have you used my gift properly? Like you've seen, everyone has been given a gift based on their ability. You cannot be given beyond what you can be able to deal with. So, stop comparing your gifts to others. Be faithful with what is in your hand. I know that's human nature. We like comparing our giftings with those of others. You know, you see someone who is a good preacher, you desire to be like them. See someone who is good in music, you desire to be like them. You know? Yet you're forgetting that what God has given you needs to be put into use. And God is going to ask you a question at the end. Have you used this gift that I've given you properly? Have you used it well? So our talents belong to the master. Our talents are not ours. We're just stewards of what God has given us. So that gift that you have is not yours. That gift that you have is not yours. Use it for the glory and honor of God who has given you, who is your master. God is your master. He's the one who's given you that gifting. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, now it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Remember, we are stewards. It's been given to us on trust. And you must be faithful. You must be faithful. We should use our talents not for our own selfish purposes, but to honor God. Don't waste the opportunities God has given you. Don't waste opportunities God has given you. The third and unfaithful servant in this parable wasted the master's money. What did he say? I know my master is selfish. He's not good. He is bad, you know, all the bad words we would like to use towards our bosses or masters here on earth. And this is what I'll do. Because I know my master, I'll just bury this talent so that when he comes, he'll find it. Right? So he didn't use the talent. He wasted the opportunity to be blessed. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's Colossians 3:23-24. Use what you've been given for the glory and for the honor of God. So how much have I received? That's not what you should be asking. How much have I received? You should be asking yourself, what am I doing with what I have received? What am I doing with what I have received? We tend to look at others, compare ourselves with others, especially kids. You know, children like comparing. I think even us as adults, we compare, what is it that my friend, my neighbor, my brother, my sister has that I don't have? Why is God not giving me this? You know, how much have I received? That's not what you should be asking. You should be asking, what am I doing with what I have received? What am I doing with what I have? So whatever God has given you, use it with honor, and God is going to bless you for using it. So stop comparing your gifts to others. Be faithful with what is in your hand. The other part is thankfulness. The other key to experiencing uncommon increase is thankfulness. Thankfulness. And you look at the story of the 10 lepers found in the book of Luke 17, 11 to 19. Luke 17, 11 to 19. So now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, who, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. So increase through thankfulness. Increase through thankfulness. Here we see only one leper returned to Jesus to thank Jesus after healing. Only one leper returned to Jesus after he was healed. Are we thankful enough of what God has done for us? With your 5 senses, we see, we smell, we touch. Do we give thanks to God for these ones? Or do we take them for granted? Do we thank God for all circumstances? Are we people of gratitude? Remember, Jesus said, the scripture says, thanksgiving is my will. McKenna talked about 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will. So we see these 10 lepers approach Jesus. They don't get where Jesus is exactly, because as it was the custom, if you had leprosy, you were like on quarantine. You could not mix with other people. All right. So these 10 people, and they were mixed up, the Samaritans and the Jews. So Jesus, and they called out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus felt compassion for them, and he tells them, he doesn't say, "I have healed you." He tells them, "Go show yourself to the priest." It was a custom that when you're healed from leprosy, you had to show yourself to the priest so that the priest can offer a sacrifice so that you can be brought back to where people were. So then they came to Jesus, and Jesus asked them to go to the priest. And as they are going to the priest, one of them, who actually is a Samaritan, finds out that he is cleansed. He doesn't have leprosy anymore. And he's filled with gratitude, and he goes back to Jesus. And he falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Master, thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing me." And Jesus is asking him, where are the other nine? Why only you who's come back to say thank you? It's a call for us. Do we go to God in thanksgiving? When you wake up in the morning, do you tell God, God, thank you for waking me up? When you go to that interview and you pass, do you tell God, thank you for being with me in this interview? When your child performs well in school, do you tell God, thank you for the opportunities God has given you? Have you remembered to tell God, thank you? Like I said, all those senses, your body is healthy. You're here today. Have you told God, thank you? So the world does not expect us to say thank you for little things. But God expects of us, because God has done so much for us. The greatest thing that God has done for us is the gift of life and the gift of salvation. So do you remember to tell God, thank you for the gift of salvation that you've given unto me? So Jesus hears our cry for mercy. So when you come to him for mercy, he hears. Like he heard the 10 lepers cry. He heard. They said, show us mercy. And Jesus had pity on them. They also had faith that God will do it for them. They had faith that God is going to do it for them. So do you have faith that God is going to do whatever you've asked him? We are to do the right thing even when everyone else is not doing it. Are we doing the right thing even when it feels like I'm the odd one out? This Samaritan man did the right thing by going back to Jesus and asking and saying, I'm thankful, I'm grateful for what you've done. May you be the one who is going back to Jesus to tell him, Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Give thanks in all circumstances. How do you demonstrate your thankfulness to God? Do you spend more time asking God for things than giving him thanks? In Sunday school, when you're praying, we pray using the acronym ACTS. So we adore, we confess, we give thanks, and then we go to supplicate. Is it how we do it here as well? Do we give thanks? Is it part of our prayer? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Buonasifiwe. Amen. So uncommon increase is not about lack. Uncommon increase is not about lack. It's about living in God's will with a heart that prays, a heart that trusts, a heart that obeys, a heart that serves faithfully, and a heart that gives thanks. It's not about lack. It's not about lack. And if I were to recap what we've talked about, even as I conclude, it's that we need to pray boldly. Now, this is in Sunday school, we say this is our application. This is our take home. We need to pray boldly. Praying boldly is asking God to enlarge our territory so that we can even be a blessing to others. We need to surrender our little. Whatever little we have, give it to God so that God can multiply it. Surrender what you have to God. The third thing you need to do is to obey immediately. Trust his word over your own reasoning. Trust his word over your own reasoning, just like Peter did. The fourth thing is to be faithful. be faithful. Use your gifts diligently and wisely. So whatever giftings that God has given you, use them to the best of your ability. And then number five, live thankfully. Live thankfully. So gratitude attracts more of God's favor. So when I'm happy and thankful about what Jesus has done in my life, I am open for him giving me more. Okay? So in closing, if you want an uncommon increase, you must partner with an uncommon God in an uncommon way through prayer, through obedience, through faithfulness, and through thankfulness. And even as I conclude, let me remind us the main truth for today. And it is, God desires to give his children uncommon increase, spiritual growth, influence, provision, and protection when we live in prayer, obedience, faithfulness, and gratitude. So we can rise even as we invite God to come and help us to live this truth. Uncommon increase, expanding beyond limits through God's power. So where are you failing? Where are you failing? Where have you not done what God expects you to do? Based on the keys that we've talked about that unlocks our increment, are we prayerful? Are we prayerful like Jabez? Do we pray boldly? Prayer of a righteous person avails much. Do we surrender what little we have? Are we giving to God what little we have so that he can multiply it? Are we obeying? What is our level of obedience to God? Are we obeying 50%, 70%, 100%? What is our level of obedience? Are we faithful with the little that we've been given? Are we thankful when we receive whatever we ask God? So you can speak to God just one sentence, two sentences. Tell God, God, I have heard your word, and I've not totally surrendered my life to you. I have not given my all to you so that you can give me. I've been selfish, even in my prayer life. God, I want to trust in you. I want to surrender everything to you. I want to obey you, Lord. Jesus, I depend on you. Forgive me where I've not depended on you. Forgive me where I've not trusted in you. Forgive me where I've ignored you calling me. Forgive me for not being thankful. Jesus, I bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us this evening. God, receive all glory and honor. God, be with your people today. May you touch their hearts, their minds, their bodies, that they may be aligned to your will for their lives. I believe that you're the God of the uncommon increase. We surrender our lives to you, Lord. We give you our time, our resources, our gifts, our skills. We give them to you, Lord. Father, may you enlarge our territory. Enlarge our territory so that when you bless us, we'll be a blessing to others, to those around us. Guide us by your hand, Lord. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we can't make it. Father, protect us from all harm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Make us a blessing to others. May we be a blessing to our families. May we be a blessing to our neighbors. May we be a blessing to our church. May we be a blessing to our community. May we be a blessing to our country, our continent. May we be a blessing to human race. Father, we choose to trust you. Just like Peter trusted in you, today we choose to trust you. When you tell us to go to the east, we go to the east. When you tell us to go to the west, Father, we'll go to the west. Father, may we be faithful to you. May we be faithful to your word. Father, may you be faithful to your word. Father, may we also be thankful for all that you do to us and for all that you continue to do for us. We are thankful for salvation. We are thankful for the fact that Jesus, you're going to come back again. We are thankful that you're going to order our steps. You're thankful that you're going to make a way where there's no way. We are thankful that we'll receive your blessings in this land of the living. We are thankful, Jesus. We are thankful for each other. Father, you are worthy to receive all that we can give. You deserve all glory and praise. Thank you for these dear ones, Jesus, who are listening, who are watching. Father, I pray that you may be Lord over their lives. Those that came with baggages that they are carrying, Father, may they put them at your feet. You are the one who understands us more than anyone else. Those who are trusting you for a breakthrough, Father, may you give it to them. Those who are trusting you for an open door, Father, come through for them. Those who are desiring for a new heart, a new life, an obedient heart, a surrendered heart, Jesus, may you give it to them. Those who desire more of you and less of them, Father, give it to them. You're worthy, Jesus. We are at your feet this evening, acknowledging that we don't deserve your presence, but you are here. Thank you, Lord. Be magnified and be adored. Father, even as we move along this month of August, we ask for your fresh anointing. We ask that you may walk with us in a special way. Father, fulfill our heart's desires. Make us align to your will, to your word, to your desire for us. May we seek after you. May we seek after your heart. May we follow you. Jesus, we bless you and we honor you. Even for that one who has not believed in you, Father, today we bring that person into your hands. That person who has not believed in this Son of God, the bread of life, the one who gives and who are satisfied. Father, I pray for that one person. Father, I pray that you may touch this person, that they may come over to your fold. Father, may they know that on this side there's fullness of joy. May they know that on this side there's love. Because, Father, you are a loving Father. Jesus, we bless you for this soul. We bless you for all these souls, oh Jesus, that don't know you. May they, today is the day of salvation, may they declare that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior this day. All for the honor and glory of your holy name. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done to us. May you release us today, even as we go to our homes. May you order our steps. May you be our anchor. May you walk ahead of us. May you be all that we need and desire. For we pray this, believing and trusting, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church said, amen. Thank you so much.